Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigated Podcast today here on June the 11th, 2023. And when I say podcast, if you go to lifeinvestigated.com, that is actually my dedicated podcast page. You can also find this video on Rumble under Patriot Trainer. And obviously, I'm on Facebook Live this morning also. That is, unless Facebook cuts me off, as it does sometimes. But anyway, we are here this morning in our spiritual talk. We are talking this Sunday morning about the fallen angels that are bound in eternal darkness and in chains. It's kind of a offbeat subject matter, but you know, I tend to speak on those things and teach on those things on occasion. If you've listened to any amount of preaching or teaching or been to church at all, at least most churches, somewhere along the line you've heard about sin, and somewhere along the line you've heard about repentance and salvation and how the blood of Jesus Christ, once a person gets the revelation of who Jesus is, that he's Savior, and then you do a free will decision to allow him to be your God, your Lord and your Savior, we call that being saved in the evangelical circles or in the Christian circles. So if you've been to church any amount of time, you've heard those teachings, I'm quite sure, again, at least in most churches. Now, if you're listening to me this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about salvation or coming into relationship with Christ, there's absolutely nothing more important for you to learn about, and no better decision for you to make, and today would actually be a good day to do that. You can reach me if you need further counsel on this. You can reach me. You can email me at patriottrainer@protonmail.com. Patriottrainer@protonmail.com. That's one word, patriottrainer@protonmail.com. send me an email. Tell me you don't understand this salvation thing and you need some more teaching on it. I'll be glad to assist you. So this morning we are talking about a subject that is a little different. It's not spoke on a lot. As a matter of fact, anything dealing with fallen angels and or demons and or Satan and true spiritual warfare and delving into the dark side of the supernatural, in most churches, it isn't dealt with at all, which is a shame, because Satan's church and the witches and the Wiccans and the warlocks and the Satan worshipers and the world actually is very well versed in teaching over the TV all the time, you know, about Satan's ways and Satan worship and all the things that are against God. There's just a plethora of information out there flooded to you and your children and your grandchildren every day. But we don't counter that in the church. So that's why I do some of these teachings. I had someone one time accuse me of just trying to glorify Satan with my teachings on the dark side and on spiritual warfare and different things like that. Not at all. Not at all do I glorify my enemy. Not at all do I respect my enemy. But I do understand my enemy has resources to use against me. And he would use it against me because I believe in Jesus Christ. You see, his real war is with God. But since God loves us so much, what does it, if you went to Sunday school, you heard this, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you know that, right? I mean, you're convinced that God loves you. I hope you are anyway. And that's the reason there's this war going on, is because God does love you that much. And that's totally out of the character of Satan to have love, because Satan wants your worship. He wants God's people to worship him. How do I know this? Well, he wanted Jesus to worship him. Remember the account in the Bible where Satan took Jesus up to the highest mountain? I just taught a lesson last week on the high places, how mountains can have spiritual connotations to them, and how that's a good place to go get in touch with your spirit man, to the Holy Spirit. So Satan, where did he take Jesus? Didn't take him to a desert. He took him up to this high plain. And he told Jesus, if you'll worship me, Jesus, I'll give you all this. And now that may sound backwards. You'd think, well, Jesus has that. No. The Bible makes it clear Satan is the god of this world. So Satan couldn't offer him what he didn't have. Right? And Jesus didn't rebuke Satan, say, that's not yours. He just said, you know, he rebuked him with the word, and he, as we all should, and went on about his business, and Satan went away from him for a season. Now, so all of that is kind of a backdrop of where I'm going today. Now, there are numerous places I could go, and if I wanted to take and do a 2-hour solid study, we could stay on this subject for 2 hours today and still not exhaust all the material that's available. If you do have a Bible, there's one verse here that I'm going to read this morning. So in these spiritual talks, I generally just do a verse, maybe two. And it's in the book of Jude. That's in your New Testament. It's one chapter. It's all the way back. It's near the book of Revelation. So in Jude chapter 1 and verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, let me drop back here and read verse 5 so I can put you in context of what the writer is writing. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So the subject matter this morning is these angels that were imprisoned in chains in an eternal place of darkness or damnation. But if I read up what Jude was writing here, the context of what he was talking to the church about essentially was walking away from God, of getting out of the grace of God. Now, some of you church folks would call that backsliding. You'd have different other words you use. Now, some of you folks, your theology tells you once saved, always saved. Well, really, probably nobody's really correct, but we do see here that there is a possibility, and I think it's a distinct possibility, where the grace of God ends. And we see it in this verse, in verse 6 of Jude, that tells us about the angels that were put into chains in everlasting darkness. So now let's go back a little further this morning. So there was a war in heaven. And we could go back into the Old Testament and we could read about this war, where Satan decided to wage war against God, the Holy God. And when Satan committed this insurrection, the Bible records that one third of the angels in heaven joined forces with him to overthrow this sovereign, mighty, holy God. Well, as you can guess, if you haven't read it in the Word, and if you don't already know this by faith, that didn't work out too well for Satan, nor his fallen angels. And the Bible says they were cast out, and where they were cast out to was into the heavenlies, to this realm of this earth. I believe the immediate atmospheric realm around us, but I do believe Satan has a throne on earth. I really do. And the Bible actually records that to me. But I'm not going into that this morning either. Like I said, the Bible is inexhaustible. And you can't teach it all. Can't even talk about it all. You get tied up for hours and hours and hours at a time. And I know you folks like short videos. Now, this is not going to be a real short session this morning. I will try to keep it as short as I can. So if one third of the angels that were in heaven were kicked out with Satan, why did some of them get bound into chains? They're actually literally locked up, according to what the Word says, in a place beneath the earth, in a place of eternal fire, or a situation where, I'm not saying they're burning, I'm just saying they're in a contentious situation where it would be as such of a burning, of a dissolving, of a heat that is unbearable, but also in that place of darkness that represents there is no life, there is no life of God, and there is no opportunity for repentance when you're in that state. So these particular angels that were within a short period of time. Now, God doesn't measure time the way we measure, so it's hard for me to give you express years of how many years this took place. There was some years took place. But these angels that were locked into chains, what caused them? What was their sin? They'd already rebelled against God and cast out of heaven. Now, you get cast out of heaven, that's a serious event, folks. So what happened? Well, if we started reading back in the book of Genesis chapter 6, we would see that some of these angels started intermarrying with human beings, with women, and were having sexual relations with women. And from that sexual relation with that human being, that woman, the person, that entity created in God's image as a human being. You see, God created male and female. So we refer back to Adam and Eve. And he told Adam and Eve to procreate. That's what he told them. That was a primary portion of their mission on earth, was procreation. And they were to tend the earth. They were to have control of the earth. That's what the design was. But then Adam and Eve sinned. And who do we see directly involved? Well, the serpent. So we see Satan. So this rebellion happens. Here's Satan. He's already down here on this earth. God creates man. And we see the involvement of Satan coming into humanity. Then somewhere along the line, now I don't know how many years and don't know what the span of years were, although it was a good number of years, we see these supernatural beings called angels leaving their first form, what they were designed to be, And in their rebellion, they left their original state. Now, keep that those words in mind, original state, because they are very important. So they left the state of what they were designed for in their rebellion, and they started marrying women and having sexual relations with them. And through those sexual relations, offspring was produced. So if we go back and we start back in Genesis chapter 6 again, we will see the offspring of those women were the Nephilim, the giants of the land. Now, I've heard theologians try to dispute that this happened. Well, number one, it's in the Bible. And I mean, we could study on the Nephilim, and there were numerous tribes of giants that's recorded in the Bible. Numerous valleys about the giants. An enormous amount of facts in the Bible to tell us there was such a thing as a giant. These people were huge. Let's look at the most known story of a giant, or the most publicized one, that was of David, the young boy, defeating Goliath, the giant. Now, it is the historians say, who've studied this, and the theologians say that Goliath, his armor alone weighed 193 pounds. Now, what man, what normal-sized man can carry 193 pounds of armament on him and still move and certainly still fight in a hand-to-hand combat type battle? Well, you would have to be extraordinarily large and big. So this whole race of giants were produced. And many of them became kings and rulers of lands. Amalek, for example, he was a giant. And he was a direct enemy of the Israelites, of the Jews, who were sent by God to take the land of Israel and to live there. And even when the spies came out to spy the land of milk and honey, what report did they come back to with Moses? We are as grasshoppers in their sight. So in other words, they were probably 5'9", 5'10", 5'11", maybe a 6 foot tall man. And when they looked at the people that were occupying the lands that they were spying, they said, we're like a grasshopper. We're minute. We are so outsized in power and rank just by who they are that there's no way that we mere mortal men can come in here and take this land, except for two of them. Two out of 12 came back with a positive outlook and said, no, there's a way to do this. And I guess I would digress just a moment and ask you this morning, are you part of the 10 or are you the 2? When you receive problems in your life and obstacles look too big to overcome, are you just cowering to them? Are you going to say, I can overcome this obstacle? I can overcome this giant in my life. And that giant could be a whole lot of things these days. But anyway, let me get back to the flesh and bone of the subject this morning. So these angels, so God considered this sexual misconduct so egregious that he, somewhere along the line, didn't offer these Nephilim any opportunity for repentance. He completely shut them off and said, there will be no grace here for you. That's how serious God took this. And why? Because as Satan tried to distract God's creation, mankind, and corrupt mankind's seed at the garden. He corrupted mankind's dominion at the garden by creating an environment and enticing and offering the opportunity for Eve to sin. And then also Adam partook of it. Well, that gave Satan authority in the earth again. And when I say again, see, I'm one of those, and there are many groups of theologians that do believe that there was a pre-Adamic race. In other words, we are the Adamic race. If you're a human being today, you are of the Adamic race, whether you want to admit it or not. And you were either created male or female. And it's irrespective of your color. If you're a human being, you are of the Adamic race. Now, many scholars, and I'm not a scholar, but I do tend to give credence to this, that there was a pre-Adamic race of human beings. And I believe that Satan was set here on this earth at that time, and I believe he led them. He led those, that creation, that pre-Adamic race of man. He was their ruler on earth. And I believe that's, you know, how this whole rebellion in heaven got started. Satan just decided he wanted to rule it all, the universe, everything that we could imagine and beyond. And that didn't work. So then, leaving his state that he was in, he got relegated, according to the word of God, to something crawling on its belly, a serpent. At least at that time. In other words, he was stripped of his authority. He was stripped of his position because of his sin and rebellion. So here we are. We're starting all over again. God's created another race of human beings called the Adamic race. So Satan comes in. He tries to take control. Well, even though he got dominion, that's why the Bible can say Satan is God of this world, because he took dominion from man. The problem is it didn't give him everything that he needed to ensure that he could be the ruler of the world forever. So it appears that he had this plan. Would appear that he had this band of angels. Now, maybe they were made these decisions of their own, but I think they didn't. And they looked at the women, the children of God, and found them pleasant. In other words, they had a sexual attraction, which I don't guess I fully understand that from the creation of an angel. But I guess if you're evil enough, you can corrupt anything. And so this whole race of people called the giants or the Nephilim was created, and it was created to change the Adamic race. So in other words, the whole idea was to corrupt the seed of Adam. So if they could fully corrupt the seed of Adam, then Satan and his cohorts, his giants, his fallen angels, they could control the entire sphere of what we know as the earth or the world that we know. So he went about this plan. But then God said, no, that's not going to work either. I'm not putting up with sexual perversion. I'm not putting up with you perverting your original state, Mr. Fallen Angel, and corrupting my creation. I will not have it. So you see, God sets a natural order for everything. God is a God of planning and of process. When the Bible records that God, you know, created everything that we know in 6 days and then rested on the seventh, I mean, who knows how many, think about it, who knows how many millions of years that God had this in his thought process before he actually did it? Could have been, because he's eternal. Could have been one day. Could have been millions of years. I don't have a clue. Something to think about, though, isn't it? But when he did, when God decided and he had the process, when he had the plan ready, he put the process in motion. And he even tells us how he put it in motion. And he tells us the order of the process. And when God decided to create this planet called Earth, he put it into exactly the universal rotation that it needed to be in to exist. He tilted it the exact same way. He pushed it as far as it needed to be away from the sun. And he only allows it to come as close as it needs to be to the sun. So he has had a specific plan, a specific process. Well, that's the way God had for procreation. He has a specific process. He created two people that are alike, but yet opposite. He created two human beings. He created Adam from the dust of the ground. Then he stood Adam up and breathed life into his nostrils. Then he took Adam, put him under anesthesia, did a surgical procedure on him. He took a rib out. He took that rib and he molded that rib with his divine hands. And stood Eve up, breathed life in her, and said, now you're going to be the woman. You're going to be like the man, but yet different. You'll be like the man, but you'll have a different function. But you all are my children and my creation. So God doesn't like this kind of stuff, this evil, sexual, perverted things. They pervert the order of nature. So what goes on? He went on to say in verses 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So what's he telling you? When you take the natural order that God planned and processed out and you pervert it, he says, let me read it again. And going after strange flesh and set forth an example of suffering in the vengeance of eternal fire. So you are offering yourself when you change the natural course of anything. You are opening yourself up to a place just like the Nephilim that can be a place of no repentance. You see, the Bible records back in a couple of places, maybe four that I know of, in the Old Covenant, that there is no resurrection for the Nephilim, for this evil race that was committed and created by these fallen evil angels. And he says there's no resurrection. So if there's no resurrection, then there's no opportunity for repentance. So man, even if a man dies as a sinner and he hates God, he will still have a resurrection and he will come before the great white throne judgment. Now he will be banished into eternal punishment, but there will be a resurrection for judgment. So here we are, but this particular race of men, there's no repentance for them. There's no resurrections, which means there is no opportunity for repentance ever. That's why they are automatically put into chains and darkness. But what caused them to be that way? Yes, they rebelled against God. They were already in a fallen state. But what caused them to be in this aggressive state of bound in chains in this eternal darkness before the time of any of the rest of their brethren. It's because of how they sexually perverted their nature. It's because of how they sexually perverted their nature, folks. You need to drop back and you need to rethink what the Satan-led or demonically inspired educational system, world system, is now trying to push into you and onto your family. There is a place. Now, I know many of you have potentially children or grandchildren that don't think the natural course of order of a man and a woman is what applies, but it is. And God proves it out here once again, how detestable it is to him. Is there a place of repentance? Probably. But I believe that space is short-lived. Now, you gotta stop this. You got to stop letting your children and your grandchildren be indoctrinated to the evil doctrine that these people are teaching and pushing on to you. And more importantly, as adult, they're pushing on to you. But imagine being a child in school and having this evil, perverted doctrine pushed in your face every day by an adult. Can you imagine? No wonder your children are upset. No wonder your children are committing suicide. No wonder your children are taking guns, knives, cars, or anything else they can find and kill their classmates and themselves. No wonder they're jumping off of roofs. No wonder they're ODing on drugs. Do you not understand what you are allowing every day to happen around you? You've got to wake up, people. God's already given us a clear example. When you try to change the natural order of anything that God has put into place, he will not tolerate it. You super duper hyper grace preachers, you can preach all of your garbage you want to, but it's not changing a thing. You are actually preaching people right into hell. With your hyper grace, walk through the tiptoe in the tulips doctrine. That God's love is so great that no matter what, he'll love you and he'll bring you in anyway. God's love is great, but that's a distortion of God's love in itself. And it's certainly a distortion of the grace of Jesus Christ. You need to think about this. Those drugs you keep your kids on to keep them in control is not what they need. They need truth, my friend. Instead of a pill to control behavior, how about a good dose of truth? Maybe that truth is discipline, but maybe it's just setting them down on a continual basis. So if you take, say you have a child that is ADHD, and you put him on a drug because your school told you you had to, and what do you do with that drug? You give it to him every day. Now, if you want to sit down and talk to your child about the natural order and the natural processes God has, it's going to take more than one talk, folks. You say, oh, well, preacher, I tried. I mean, I prayed for him and I even talked to him. I told him what the truth was. Didn't change anything. You're a liar. You did not put forth the attempt to save your children. You are a liar and you need to admit it. You did not put forth the attempt. You made an excuse because you're too lazy or too spiritually dumb to counsel them. Or you're too busy with your entertainment than you are to invest it in your children. I want you to think this morning what a precarious place you you parents and grandparents are allowing your children to be in. And when we start talking about all of this garbage about sexual confusion, you, my friend, if you are not opposing it, you are buying in to the distortion of the natural processes God has put into place for mankind. The whole group of created beings chained in misery with no opportunity for repentance. Is that what you really want? And these are some bad dudes. These are some bad dudes that are chained up in this eternal place. I mean bad. Why do you think there's so much evil produced in the land now? There is still a remnant of this evil seed that's in this earth. You had it before the flood, you had it after the flood. That's very clear in the Bible. Grown up adult, maybe it's time for you to come to the point of repentance this morning. Maybe. I would highly suggest that you do a self-spiritual examination, which we should do that every single day, quite frankly. Because, man, it is easy in this evil, pathetic society in which we live here in America and other places in the world, not just us. We are in a degraded society, and it's easy to accept the perversion because it's all around you. But anyway, whether this helped you or not, whether you agree with it or not, and my assessment of it, I would say it doesn't matter, but it does matter to me, but then yet it doesn't matter. Because I still believe it's the truth. I believe what I read, and I believe what God has dealt with me on. And the things that the Holy Spirit has shown me. But as I always do, you just have to make your own decision. But here's the thing, folks. You need to make an informed decision through your prayer time and your relationship with God and through His Bible. That's the only way you can make a real informed decision. But anyway, this is the Patriot Trainer, KD English. Until next time. When we do another spiritual talk, but I do Life Investigated. We do a lot of things. We talk about a lot of different things. You can find more information and different talks sometime where you can find many more different talks that I'm posting on lifeinvestigated.com on the podcast page than you'll ever find on Facebook because, like I said, they like to shut me down a whole lot. Rumble so far hasn't shut me down on anything, but I don't have a lot of videos up there yet. And by the way, if you ever go to my Rumble channel, this is something you can really do to help me out. I would be live on Rumble this morning with except for the fact that you have to have 5 people following you or subscribing, whatever they call it, to your channel. So if you go on Rumble, set you up in an account. It's free. It's just like it's YouTube, only more on a more conservative nature, and they don't really shut you down unless you're doing something like really, really bad. They're going to let you have your free speech. So if you look for me, Patriot Trainer, if you look for me, you'll see my ugly mug there on the videos. Whether they're giving you the opportunity to subscribe or follow or like, whatever that thing is they want you to do, if you go on there and do that for me, at least get me up to 5 subscribers. I've just started. It don't cost you anything. It would really help me out that I could go live on another platform. Inch by inch. That's all I can do, folks. Inch by inch. So thank you again. If you have questions, by all means, email me. Or if you need somebody to join with you in prayer, I will be more than happy to do so. See you next time.